Hello everybody, my name is Andrew Walsh and I'm one of the librarians at the University of Huddersfield. And today, as you can see, I'm going to talk about QR codes, text to librarians and a few other bits and pieces to do with using mobile phones in the libraries. In particular, some of the things I've done at the University of Huddersfield Library with mobile phones. So, what I'll be talking about in particular is the Text to Librarian service introduced at Huddersfield Uni, the text tips and tricks that we've got going on at the moment throughout the autumn term, what we're doing with QR codes in our library, and sort of maybe some of the thoughts and some of the things that we've got going at the moment. And I'll hopefully finish early enough to give you a chance to play with some mobiles as well. So, you know, why have I been doing this stuff first of all? Well, I had been sort of wanting to experiment a bit with mobile phones just because all the students in our library seem to have them in either in their pocket or in their hands constantly. I've been looking around to see what people have been doing, and I've been getting sort of a bit annoyed at the amount of studies, the amount of case studies I've found out there of people using really high-end equipment and sort of mobile phones and PDAs that they'd bought for students. So they'd all start off, oh yes, first of all, we bought 100 iPhones for our students. And I've been getting a bit irritated that it just wasn't sustainable and wasn't practical for most of us, because we don't all have big chunks of money to buy kit for students. And why would we need to when they've all got them in the pocket anyway? So I started experimenting with some of the sort of basic functionality of mobiles myself to try and get my head around what was possible and sort of what was useful to us as well, and how we might use these technologies in the libraries over the next couple of years. I concentrated initially on basic things like text messaging, though I've introduced sort of more elements of the mobile web in there as well, so hopefully things are sort of fairly accessible to people. And I'm just going to throw a reference from Ray Kurzweil in at Handheld Learning the other week. It said mobile phones are misnamed, they should be called gateways to all human knowledge. And I think we ought to remember this when we're playing with mobile phones. They're not just phones. It's going to be more and more important in our libraries in the very, very near future. So we really ought to be getting our heads around it now. Why? Well, there's a few facts and figures up here. Most of them are a little bit out of date, I'm afraid, but it's only going to be more so now. Essentially, practically all adults have mobile phones. Thinking where I come from in higher education and where most of you will be coming from, higher or further education, I think it's even more so. Sort of most of your people using your library will have mobile phones constantly with them. With all inclusive packages, text messages can effectively be free. And increasingly, the mobile web is becoming available. Even in America, which tends to be a bit behind us, the Pew Internet, the Pew Research Center on the wireless internet showed that 56% of Americans had accessed the internet by wireless means over the previous year, and that includes 32% accessing things through their mobile phones. And this is a country that's probably a few years behind us here. So we ought to be taking as much advantage as possible of these mobile devices, and increasingly so, the mobile web. And that's reflected by the Horizon Report, the Education Horizon Report this year, that had mobile phones as time to implementation 1 year or less. So it's coming, whether we want it or not. Why not take advantage of it from the start? We're not left behind. So some of the services I'm introducing, the most basic thing we've introduced and the first proper service we've introduced is Text to Librarian. This is what the web portal looks like here. And it's provided by, oh, it's getting mixed up with this, Meerkat or Meercom Communications. Users can send a text message to a short number, so it's just 81025, and include a tag as the first part of their text to make sure it's directed into the right pot for us on this web portal. Doesn't cost a lot. It's costing us about £25 a month for the code, and 4.1 pence to send a text, 1.5 pence for us to receive text. So it's not ridiculous costs to introduce this sort of web-based portal service. Users can get an automatic response if we wanted to, so you could have thank you for their question. And they're answered via this web portal. So you can answer them from any PC, really. As I say, use this to set up text to librarian service, but there's lots of other stuff it can do as well. So this was like a first step for us to experiment with this sort of service, so we could then do more in future. There's lots of other ways of doing this, not least just having a mobile phone sat on the information desk for you. And I'll mention a couple of other options after the next slide. So if text to librarian was our sort of most basic service, a bit fancier now is text tips and tricks. And this is a series of 10 text messages I'm sending out this autumn term. So we're part way through it at the moment. At their most basic level, it's a chunk of text, but some also have links to further mobile friendly web resources like podcasts. And I've tried to make them time appropriate. So the first one was a real general guide to the entrance floor of the library. A few weeks in, how to renew your books, and towards the end of term, how to get into MetaLib, which is where they access electronic resources through us. This needs more than just a basic mobile phone that you could have got away with for the text to librarian service. As I say, we're using one particular portal. There are other services available that do similar sort of things, either better or worse. There's Janet Text, which your computing services people might be quite happy dealing with because it's Janet in the title. But there's also a big commercial service called Text Tools that a lot of educational establishments are using. The one they're using seems very clunky, to be honest. Text Tools looks a lot fancier and a lot easier to use. We're just using this one because it was set up for another pilot. It's fairly cheap to go, whereas people like Text Tools insist you pay sort of quite a large upfront charge, which covers a lot of text messages afterwards. This has a small upfront charge, but it's then charging you for every text message afterwards, so it would build up if you sent out loads of them. I've got information here. I've got a few articles that you're welcome to look at afterwards. I had a recent article in the Library Information Update, SLIPS Update, on Text to Librarian, and echoing that on the UK OLN Cultural Heritage Block, they asked me to I guess blog posting about it. And I've also got a general article in Library High Tech News earlier on this summer on using text messages in libraries. The Text to Librarian service, it costs so little. I was able to introduce that sort of, you know, almost on the slide. We just slipped it in, very easy, very cheap. The text tips and tricks had the potential to cost a lot more, both because we had to sort of actively promote it and because we had to have really a separate account on this portal for things to go in and out of, and the potential for lots of text messages. So I managed to get funding from the UCNR Innovation Award, which I received at Umbrella Conference this year, which gave me a small amount of funding, but it's paid for our portal for the year. So I know I can send out loads of text messages on this text tips and tricks and not to worry too much about what it will cost us. It's still going to cost us less than £1,000 for the year for promotion and all the text messages there. So it's not too expensive. There, a couple of very basic services. Slightly fancier again is QR codes. And this is what one looks like. It'd be interesting to know if anybody can work out what it contains while I'm talking about it. But I'll explain how to do that later and give you phones to play with it later as well. They can contain QR codes, that is, can contain text, links to URLs, they can prompt your phone to send a text message or make a phone call, and some can contain information like contact details that you can import straight into your phone. And the handout I've given you today will have QR codes as well as some of the slides. I got a small amount of project funding from our university's Teaching and Learning Fund to develop their use in the library, in particular with teaching and learning and teaching information skills to students as they go around the library. So, that's what they look like. Actually, are they? They're a 2D matrix code, sort of like a 2D barcode, and they follow an international standard. So it's easy for people to take these and adapt them and provide their own applications that take advantage of QR codes. Lots of demonstrations on YouTube on how to work. I think this one I've put in here is a George Clooney lookalike showing you how to use them. QR codes were originally developed by a company called Denso Wave in Japan. They wanted sort of something a bit more than barcodes to keep track of stock as it moves through the factory. Because they made car parts. I think the subsidiary of Toyota. So they did it for their own use and thought, would be a bit nice here, and sort of release it freely for everybody to use and as an international standard. So it's sort of slowly broken out of manufacturing to wider use, in particular in Japan, because Japan's biggest mobile phone network started installing QR code readers on all their mobile phones. So it was just accessible to most people in Japan straight away. What are we using them for? Well, we're doing things like linking to mobile friendly videos, providing contact numbers or prompting text messages from people's phones in the library. We can link to full text of print journals, link to useful resources around the library. And I've got lots of examples in the next few slides of where we find them and what they do. But we pretty much put them on anywhere with a flat surface, whether that's a printed handout or a plasma screen up in the library or a shelf end. We're just taking advantage of any flat surface to sort of subvert the physical nature of the library. So we're bringing in elements of the mobile and electronic library and resources into the physical building. So first of all, very first thing we did was put them on the library catalogue. So you see people looking at the library catalogue, scrolling down the number, going to the shelves, and then getting lost because they haven't written down the full details, or they've written down something wrong, or not noticed the fact that all their copies are out on loan, and getting quite frustrated. You occasionally see people taking a picture of the catalogue screen as well, so they can then take that catalogue entry with them. This takes it just one step further by having a QR code for your phone to read, so they can then take the full catalogue record away with them. Next, we've got unprinted guides. So we can link to things like quizzes at the end of a printed guide, or further resources on the net, or just how to get in touch with us afterwards to provide sort of just that little bit extra than we could get into a printed guide. we're trying to link to some electronic books from the bookshelves, so where students get really frustrated because the last physical copy's gone and they might not realise there's an electronic book available, we've put some laminated cards in with a picture of the book cover on one side and this sort of thing on the other, linking to the electronic book via the QR code. Just done it with, I think, about 10 first roll to see if they do actually get some traffic through the QR code. And if it works, we can then sort of probably put proper fake books on the shelves to link through to the electronic books. We've got QR codes on stickers on printed journal boxes and next to the current printed journals that links currently through SFX to our electronic holdings for journals. So it'll automatically go by and search to see if we've got electronic versions of that journal. So where people are getting lost and thinking, oh, how do I search through all these journals, all these printed journals, to find what I want? They can wave the phone at them, and if we've got it, get linked through to the electronic version to search on the phone instead. We often find we've got space on our shelf ends, so throw a few QR codes in. So it might be videos to provide extra help, to provide instruction to people at their point of need in the library. Or the one on this picture here is actually linking through to legislation of freely available online at the OPSI site, because it's on the shelf end full of all our printed statutes. We've got links next to the library catalogues on little stickers that will prompt you to either, I think it was text a librarian by the catalogues, or near the PCs and the printers where people might need IT help, prompt it to ring the student IT support number. And we've got videos in the odd spot, like this is our print credit machines. It's where the students are wandering about saying, how do I stick pink credit on my card? I don't know how to use this machine. They can watch a very quick little video on their phone that shows them how to use the pink credit machine. So that's sort of what QR codes are and some of the things we're using them for. But how can people actually read them using their phones? Well, you'll get a chance to play with some of our sample phones in just a minute or so. But essentially, pretty much any camera phone can read these things by installing a normally free application on it. We're not trying to support the different phones people have, but our advice is essentially to Google QR reader and the model of their phone, and you have a fair chance that on the first screen there'll be several links to resources that you can click on, get an application and full instructions on how to install it on your phone. But we do have basic information and links to some of those applications on our webpage, but they don't do much more than say Google it. So we've got all these things out in the library. We're hoping people will use them. How are we promoting them? Well, I didn't want to do some sort of worthy guide to say, oh, look, your QR codes are good. Why don't you install them on the phone? Here's a 10-page booklet about it. Instead, I wanted it to primarily be through people's natural curiosity, and hopefully the people curious with playing with these sort of things are the ones more likely to have the high-end toys that will make it as easy as possible to use them. So we're using curiosity first of all. Posters like this about the university, they just say sort of, you know, read this for a chance of winning £100. And behind this, we have a series of 10 competition codes scattered around the library, each of which has a secret word in. And if they text, I think 7 out of 10 of those secret words to our phone number, they get put in a prize draw to win a £100 voucher. So, which is the other side of it, which is an element of greed in there as well. So using curiosity and greed to try and promote them. So hopefully got them from two directions, and we'll get a decent number of people choosing to install the application on their phone, because most people don't have them ready installed. And if they do the competition, hopefully they'll play with some of their other QR codes. We've just launched this competition. The first few entries are coming in already, but we've launched it through the bog standard posters about the place, but also putting it on a Twitter account, on the library blogs, on plasma screens throughout the library. Hopefully a short little piece in the next student newspaper. And in a few weeks, as like a second wave, I'm going to put it on things like the student portal that we try and encourage all students to log on to access our resources. So we've got text to librarian, text tips and tricks, QR codes. The next sort of significant thing is research to sort of find out, well, what do students want us to do with mobile phones? So we're already playing, but you know, what do they really want? And what do they see as acceptable? And I've got a LIRC, Library and Information Research Group grant, a small amount of money to get some focus groups of students together and say, go on, what do you want us to do then? Mainly around the idea of do they really mind us contacting with these quite on these quite personal devices to them. We're doing that through a series of focus groups this term, though we may struggle at the moment, because in the past we've always been allowed to bribe people, give them refreshments of course, but also give them a few pounds worth of print credit, or you know, sort of a token gesture to get them in. I've been told we're not allowed to bribe people like that anymore, so we might struggle a bit more than in the past. And the hope is we'll get off this an idea of what students want us to do. So we send out emails at the moment, the day before people's books are overdue. Do they want us to send out a text message instead? If we can get a flavour of these things, it can then give us an idea of what next steps to take with using mobile phones. Right, so that's sort of some of the ways we're using mobile phones in the library. We've got a few minutes now to have a play with some of these toys. But for feedback, you can text me to our text portal, you can email me, send a message via Twitter, but or just sort of ask any questions there. Right, thank you for listening.